Nes ta mae wene dyn nhw, agos ni roi mae wene dda ta mwyl ffod a wel i mae'n troi ni, cyr gylio'r a casu ffar ar ym ys bol y hyrang edu cael ath hi, agos ta edu gael ansio sgil hyn, chwyd ys mô, agos bydd gyda'i spes i dda'n chart ys di, agos bod edu English is you're more comfortable on the English. The Gaelic was never spoken in this part, was there?
Well, not much, no.
But you're living here in Ballyheeran, but you're originally from?
From Tuam.
Tuam. Right, that's not many miles from here.
4 or 5 miles.
Right, well, tell me about it, Eddie. How was life growing up like?
Well, life growing up, when I was 10 years old, my father died. I had 2 brothers and 2 sisters. And we hadn't very much, like plenty more. And we went to school. That was about 3 miles away. We had to walk to school. Bellalair. And so that went for a bit. Then I left school and I was good with my hands. And I used to do different things. The wire started, and what I started then to do was make clogs.
Make clogs?
Make clogs. Make clogs for walking in.
Yeah.
You know, I used
that
to...
That itself was brilliant.
I used to cut down trees.
Right.
And make soles for the clogs. And then I used to buy leather and make them, make the uppers. But then some... There's a shoemaker there in Quebec, he'd be a brother, John Kerr's singer. And I used to make the soles for him, and he would make them then and sell them.
And where did you get the idea for making the shoes, the clogs?
Well, I'll tell you, at that time, everyone was trying to do everything to get on.
Everyone was self-sufficient.
There was someone else, I know that tried it, and then I thought I would try it. And I'd done a lot of that. And I started another thing then, making toe plates for shoes. And I used to sell them over in Macatees over in Shannon.
And what kind of stuff did you use? I used iron. Metal, like, or?
Like, what I used most was straps that used to be on tin for holding it together when you buy it, you know.
Right.
And that kind of stuff. And then I went on, then I used to even make tubs for feeding beasts. And then when that was on, then I started and I made cart wheels.
But was your dad, was he a wheelwright?
He was done everything before he died. But then I started to make the cart wheels and I made a few pair of cart wheels.
Had you learned that from your dad, Eddie?
I learned it from Noah. He had the tools there just, and I knew how to work them. And then I made a few carts, horse carts.
Gee, that was some...
Made a few of them.
That was some job you took on.
Aye, I was only...
Because that wood then would have come on plain timber, isn't that true?
Oh, it was a tree that you'd cut down, you know. But, well, for the tubs and them things, you got old barrels. And made them out of the old barrels.
But tell me about the making of the cart. You just cut down, did you cut down trees yourself?
Oh, not no. For the making of it. No. You went to some store and bought the timber for it. And then you made it and you went to the forge and you got the irons made in the forge for it.
Yeah.
And the wheels, well, I didn't make many wheels, but you took the wheel then to the smith and he got a hoop and he built a round fire around the hoop and left the wheel up on a stand and dropped the hoop onto the wheel and threw water on and that shrinked it and it tightened
would.
Up.
I know it would tighten.
And
yeah.
Wouldn't come
yeah.
off. Well, that was going for a while.
How long would it take to make a cart, to build a cart, Eddie?
Well, I suppose about at that time, maybe 3 or 4 days.
But they were in demand at the time, Eddie, like...
They weren't what?
Horses and carts were used a lot. They were in demand.
Oh, like, they were in demand, surely.
Yeah.
Well, then she had to paint them too. And a cart that time, it was painted nice red and blue. Mm-hmm.
And red and
blue,
all
the decorations
yeah.
on it. Not like a tractor now, there's
not
no
at
decorations
all, no.
on it. And you'd, when you'd have it done, you'd have a consultant. You'd ask, make a new cart and have it painted up. Neighbours would be coming in to see it. So it was a great job.
But there was a lot of pride in your work, Eddie, you know, when you'd finish
such as that. Aye,
at that
time, aye. Well,
and
then...
And what would they cost, Eddie, like, to make a cart?
Well, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you now. You wouldn't be charging very much. It depends on who you'd be making for. Maybe you'd make it for someone charging nothing. And maybe you'd make it for someone and they'd have a bit of money and they'd throw you more than you charge.
I know exactly
you know,
what
that
you
kind of
yeah. But see the tools you use. Your dad already had the tools, all hand
tools. Oh, well,
tools.
He had the tools, aye.
He was making building carts, wasn't he?
Well, most of what he'd done was build houses.
Right.
His uncle or his brother used to make the carts, if he had any carts to make. A fellow named Barney. And then he died. And so he didn't make some money after that. But then after that, then, I went to work with an uncle of mine. He was fixing houses, James. He was fixing houses and building odd ones. And I worked with him for a couple of years. And then...
Just around locally and
oh, even in Letterkenny.
But he?
Some aye. And then I went to work with a man then for about 6 months, Terence Bunsen. But he was a contractor in Letterkenny. I worked with him and I left him and I went to the council. And Letterkenny, they were building houses down in Old Town.
Oh, I stayed in Old Town for a while.
Did you?
I did. Charlie O'Donnell's out in Old Town.
Oh, you stopped in Charlie O'Donnell's?
Did you know him?
Well, I loved Harley, and I think I might have known him.
I think you would, because
he was
actually...
Was in the new houses he was?
I'd say the houses would have been built in the 1950s, you know. Now, that's only a guess, like...
Well, it would be...
It was actually Ponsonby's in the neighbourhood, a few doors away from him.
It would be about 50, who would I say? It would be about 51 or 52 I was there.
Right. I bet you were at the building of the houses that he lived in, O'Donnell's.
Most likely.
I'd say so.
There were two-story houses.
Yeah, two-story houses,
I was
yeah.
at the building of them. I remember there was an old boy there at the time. He was getting one of the houses. And they took him in to see the houses. And he looked into the bath. And he said, that'll be a lovely place for a wee pig.
He never saw a bath in his life.
No.
No.
A lovely place for a wee pig.
So you were now, you were coming on, you know, you were learning a lot of the building trade.
Yeah, and then I went over to Buncrana then to work with. Man the name of Haggerty. And then as work run out then and he got me a job in Ermelton for a while. He was Haggerty as well. I think they're still going. And then I left Haggerty and then I went to Johnson. I stayed with Johnson then for a couple of years and I worked here and there.
They were Johnson's in Letterkenny.
They were Johnson's in Letterkenny.
Were they the ones who owned the big shop?
They're the ones that owned that big shop that sold it off.
Yeah. Right, I know now. They had a big hardware shop in Letterkenny. They still do now. Well, they moved on, right?
They moved. It's, I don't know. It's a crowd from Limerick sent now.
James,
I don't know
James Johnson, was that his name?
Aye.
Yeah.
That was the name they had on the shop. But they're Limerick ones now. They still hold Johnson's name.
All right.
They still work under the name.
They do the same name, right. Yeah. So you work with him for quite a while?
With him for quite a while, making wonders and doors and outworking. on houses outside.
Was that but now, were you based down the Port Road, like in that building, or were you just out on site? And
you'd be in and out.
Right.
In and out.
But he had a wooden workshop down Port
Road. He had a workshop down there, that's right. And then I left, where did I go? That was Johnson. So I worked with Johnson then. The work gave up then with Johnson, the snow come. And I asked me to stay off for a few weeks. So I stayed off for a few weeks. And I was down there and about and I didn't know what to do. And my brother came in one day and he says, I'm going to England.
Was he already working in England?
No. Well, I says, I'll go with you. So the two of us made off to England. And we had no special place to go, just only to England. And so we went up the road and we met someone on the bus. And I used to work with him before. And he says, where are you going? I was thinking on going to England. Well, if you come with me, I'll get you a job where I'm working. So we went on to Bristol with him. And we were in there.
Was he contracting in Bristol?
No, I'd only working. So I went down there and got digs, and he took me out to the job. I was out there about 12 o'clock and the foreman says, oh, stay now the day, you'll get your pay if you stay. So we got our pay for the day and that was it.
So tell me about the work, the project in hand. What exactly were you doing there, Eddie?
Well, it was for a power station out in Portishead. And the power station was 75 foot below the sea level.
Jeez.
And there was boys down below that were tunneling in under the sea to let the water in for cooling the power station. And we were round about doing a bit of shuttering, you know. But I didn't state it was finished. But there'd be a big building at then, you know, when it would be finished for a power station.
But you were a handyman with the shuttering like,
and all that, you know.
So you'd get better paid than the your ordinary labour.
Oh, you got more pay than a labourer.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it all right. And then
what year was that be now?
That was 53.
Yeah.
The 3rd of January 1953 that I went over there.
So you took to it all right, Eddie, and you met a lot of people, Irish men, I suppose.
Oh, sure, you'd meet plenty of Irish men. And I don't know where I went then. I was that many places, I couldn't tell you.
You travelled around with the same company? Like
no.
No?
You'd get the paper and you'd look at it and you'd see a job here and another job there and you wouldn't know which of them to go to. And you'd go to the job and when you'd been to one of these, you'd say, I wish I had to stay where I was.
But there was plenty of work in England at the time.
There was plenty for tradesmen.
Yeah.
And that's where I landed. And I finished, where was I? I was in Birmingham and different places.
Did you like Birmingham more than Bristol? Like, or?
I liked Bristol. I thought Bristol was a lovely place. On a Sunday, if you went out there were nice parks and all.
Yeah.
And I liked it. But then, we'd end up then Coventry.
All right. All these cities, though, like you would have met a lot of Irish people, like same as yourself.
Oh, they were all plenty Irish. The Irish kind of went about together, you know.
Of course they did.
And
Coventry would have been in a lot of Irish as well, would it?
And there's a whole lot of other places between them times to forget them. Then I went to London. I stayed in London for maybe, I'd say, 7 or 8 years.
Did you like London more?
I liked it all right. I couldn't say I was dying about it. But there was plenty of work on it. And I worked with different ones there and I got on very well in London.
Would the English contractor be better to work for than the Irish subby, or Did you feel that, like, were you treated better, like?
I think they used to say that an English foreman was better than an Irish foreman to work with.
And did you find that?
Well, I found the two of them both good. You'd get some Irish foremen that weren't a lot done, you know. But in the trade, it would be a bit different if you had a trade. But for labourers, it was always an Irish foreman, you know. But then in the, if you had a trade, it was a different thing altogether. They'd be all treated alike, you know.
Yeah.
Because there'd be English men working there as well. But if you're working out labouring, it was nearly all Irish. So it was something different.
And did you go to football matches in London and all that?
I used to go to football matches and go to, I used to go a lot to see one wrestling.
Did you? You were into that, like?
Boxing and all that. Used to go to the Galty Moor.
Were you there?
Yeah. Many times.
Where hundreds and hundreds of people would pack in.
Met a lot of one from home there.
And they would have Irish bands going from
all
this
Irish bands.
Yeah.
A lot of Irish singers over there. That, what do you call that one? That one that sings. I can't think of her name.
Where is she from?
Down from Chrysler.
Oh, Bridie Geller.
Bridie Geller. She used to be over there. She was a great singer, but she'd be boozed half the time.
But she did have a good voice, though.
But
you'd have great crack around the dance halls.
Okay, I'll meet all the ones from home and crack with them. So that's a long time ago.
And did you go to soccer matches then?
Not much. Odd times. Someone that you'd like to see playing, you just know.
So you spent how many years in England then?
I spent 12 years over.
12?
12 years.
So you were always thinking of returning home, maybe?
Well, I'll tell you, I was always liked to turn home. But then there's an uncle of mine living here and his wife died.
Was that next house? That wee house next
that
door?
That house there.
Right.
And so I came home for a week at the funeral and he asked me to stay in. Then Sarah there was married at that time and we had a small baby and it was two. But she was expecting. And then I came home. And so then the baby, it was two. We didn't take the baby home till it was a month or so. About a month. That was 1965. And I remember us, that's the oldest of my lane. And the funny thing about it, we went up to that chapel up there, a whole lot of ones come out there, and some of them lifting her up out of the pram, you know. And she maintains that she remembers that. She's still a larg on you. But we couldn't believe it, but she says aye. And she was only a month. Or that could be possible or not, I don't know.
Jeez, I never heard of that, memory of you know, that age,
well,
that youngly. But
she says she does.
But anyway, Eddie, you then took on building this house soon afterwards, did you?
Well, when I come home then I built this house.
You came home in 65 then?
Come home in 65.
Right.
Well, the house wasn't built in 67. And
was it
65? What?
Was it
65? 65 we come home. But 67 I built the house. I got the stuff and used to buy the blocks. The blocks were only 11 pence a piece at that time. And I had another lad helping me to mix the stuff and carry them up to me. So that was that. Then when I was built, then I put the roof on it. Then I put in the wonders. I made the wonders and all for it as well.
So you opened a workshop, or did you say?
No. But the roof one here now, tinned up the one that put tin on them, you know.
Right.
Locked them up and then had the floor and upstairs. And the water made everything up there and made windows and doors and everything. And that was that.
There was some undertaking, Eddie, you know, to build a two-story house.
It was a big undertaking.
It was, and you never built a block in your life previous to it, did you?
I never built a... Well,
you did all the woodwork, I know that, but building blocks, you hadn't.
Well, there's nothing in building blocks. Nearly anyone could build a block. And then, as well as building, then a plaster, done the ceilings, and done everything. All was into my brother, he laid the wires for me, for the electric. Because he was used building, you know.
Yeah.
He laid the wires for me. And he done some of the plumbing. So everything else done myself.
How much would that cost at the time, Eddie?
Well, I know the material for the house cost 2,000. That was everything. But I don't know how much I paid once for other things I don't know.
So you soon then, there was very little work still around and about, and you started to make windows. Is that true, Eddie? You took on making windows?
Well, there was work about. But I thought I'd have a go at the wonders just.
Yeah.
But the worst thing about the wonders was there was too much dust. You know, when you're planing timber and all them things, it was all dust. Bad for your health.
So where did you open a workshop locally, or did
I had a workshop down at Fatima Walty. It was an old hall in that garden.
You rented it just?
The priest just. And I worked there for 5 years.
And did you take in, you know, heavy machinery, ripsaw and all of these?
I had a few things like that. Not heavy, just...
Lighter machines.
You would, to go into it right, you take big machines, you know, to speed the thing up.
Yeah, I know.
That's...
So you made plenty of sets of windows, Eddie?
I made sets of windows, aye.
Things were improving and more people, more building going on?
Well, I kind of stopped before the building went
took
right
off,
ahead,
yeah.
You know.
So mostly what kind of wood did you use?
Aroka.
Yeah. You stopped the old Red Deal stuff, you took on hardwood.
Well, no one wanted the Red Deal because the third one last long enough.
No. I think you'd be lucky to get 10 years of a lifespan out of them.
Well, you'd be lucky because the ones that done them that didn't paint them right. But these ones are in here for 40 years and they're Red Deal.
And they're fine.
But before I put them in, I painted them.
Did you treat them with some kind of other stuff before?
No, I didn't treat them with anything, just painted them well, put paint in with the mortises and everything too that kept the water out. And so they're still good 40 years.
So you started to make staircases as well, Eddie?
Well, I'll tell you, when I was up in the old town, I made the staircase up there. I made the most of them, all in them houses. But they weren't kind of hard to make. You know, they're only like them there. There was no handrails on them or nothing, you know.
Just open stairs, But still, there's a lot of work, because at the time, Eddie, you never used a router. You were just using hands.
Oh, just the hand, aye. Well, another man helped me there, but he wasn't much good, Jimmy Greaves. You might know him.
No, I don't.
He was driving a taxi for a while. That's the last time I saw him. The time we were coming home from England to Sarah's father's wake. He drove us from Letterkenny down to our house. That was Jimmy Greaves.
So you'd use her brace, said he, just first of all? And
well, you just use the brace an inch, that, and yeah. You bore the hole down about half an inch out at the end of the nozzle
of the staircase, yeah.
And then you had a wee temple made and you marked. You had to make it a bit wider for the wedge at one end.
Yeah, a wedge underneath each piece, yeah.
That's right. And that's the most things are done now.
Have you seen big changes in Fanad, Eddie, since you left home a long time ago?
Ah, God bless it. When I left home, there wasn't much in Fanad.
Everybody was leaving home. Immigration was just...
They were all leaving home. They had nothing. They were working on the roads for £3 or £4 a day, or £3 or £4 a week. I'm not sure. I think it's something like that.
Might be so that was your choice. If you stayed at home, that was you're going to go and
well,
be your life.
If I had to stay at home, I could have plenty of work if I had to stay at home.
Mm.
But when I saw everyone going, I went.
You felt you were going to miss something? Like
well, I could still be working with Johnson until he stopped work.
Yeah.
You know? And then there was other ones too that I could have worked with.
See, when you were working with Johnson, did you travel to and fro? It was too long to travel. You stayed in Letterkenny as
well? Well, I stayed in Letterkenny and then if you had a job out somewhere, you went with him in the morning.
Yeah.
That kind of
But way. There was no buses from here to Letterkenny, was there?
Oh, there was a bus. There was a bus here. There was a bus here for a long time. Manus Bugley, O'Shanna. There's even a song made about him. It's in some of them papers. Some of them books that Sarah was showing you.
He was on the road for years.
He was on the road for years. Remember going up for frosty days. I always sat in the bus on the front seat along with him on a Monday morning. And he used to have a bucket of sand with him.
Bucket of sand?
Aye.
What reason?
For the frost.
Oh, yeah.
On
it was
the frosty
slippy,
mornings.
Yeah.
And when he'd see the frost, I would get the shovel and I'd take out the bucket and I'd shake it but the sand on the road. Then he'd get off.
He'd spin off, yeah.
See up some breeze.
My God. Times were tougher, weren't they?
Tough times. And you'd go into Letterkenny and you wouldn't meet a car on the road.
There was very, very few cars on the road.
Not many.
Do you remember a time where there weren't any cars here? Like,
well, when we came here, that was in 65.
Ah, well, there'd be quite a few then.
Well, there was a few. Well,
yeah.
There was 3 cars in this town, and then I got one that made 4.
Did you buy a split new one, Eddie?
I bought a split new car in 65.
My God.
And it cost £630 with tax and insurance and everything paid.
£630?
Aye.
My God, you wouldn't get an insurance policy for now for your car?
You wouldn't, no, you wouldn't.
No.
Your man, he said, I'll pay the whole lot for you.
Which kind of car did you buy? What
an
model?
An Austin A40.
You had it a long time then.
Austin A40, it's a nice wee car.
They were built to last, Eddie. They would last for years for you.
Well, they were a good car, only the front expansion was very bad.
Mm.
The sand and the weather got into it, and it wore away very fast.
Rusted, like?
The wearing part, you know.
Wearing, right.
See, if where there's anything coming round, if they get any sand in,
yeah, it's going to wear.
It wears 10 times quicker, you know. That's what I found out about them. But at the same time I bought that car, I could have got one of them other wee, what do you call the wee, smaller car.
Mars Minor. Yeah.
I could have got one of them with 2 doors for £500.
But still it would have lasted for years for you, the car, the Austin you got.
It done me 10 years.
Yeah.
But I think if I had to get the other way, it would have lasted longer.
But Eddie, I told you earlier, I came across here yesterday for the first time across the Mulray Bridge. That'll bring big changes, Eddie.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, that's about here. About here at that time, there was no chapel. They had to cross over to Massmont, and some of them used to cross on the ferry.
Right.
It's not the ferry, well, it would be a bit nearer here than by the bridges.
Just past, up past John McDermott's there, would that be the direction? No.
No, it's over past that a good
past that again, right. Okay.
200 or 300 yards.
I actually went up there yesterday, as a matter of fact. Past his house.
Past the
McDermott's house. I went up way up that road, narrow road.
You went up to the house?
I did.
Well, then, this, the ferry was over. You know, when you come down a brae over there, there's a kind of junction there.
I do, yeah, I came down.
Well, that
there.
Junction, well, the ferry was down there where they used to go out in the boat. Well, that was all right, but there, at where you go over to John McDermott's, there's a wee quay there, and some of them used to leave. My uncle used to leave that wee quay there and go over the whole way to Massmont on the boat.
How many miles would that be?
Well, I'm sure it would be. Well, it's hard. It would be, on the water, it would be a mile and a half or 2 miles.
Yeah, it would.
But on a one day, it was frightening.
It would be.
There'd be ones over the other side sometimes, and they'd be wondering, will they get in?
Some of them used to come in.
You know, they'd see the water be splashing up. That's right. But at that time, people went to Mass. It doesn't matter how bad a day it was.
Regardless, yeah. But that day's gone, Eddie, I think.
That day seems to be gone.
And see this ferry you're on about, was that a McIlhenny's ferry? Were they the owners of...
No, they weren't McIlhenny's. Well, McIlhenny's was over near to where the bridge is.
All right. I see.
This was the Moore's one.
But there was always a good link between Carrigart and Fannad anyway, like.
Well, they used to shop over there.
They did.
They would go over on the boat and take the bike with them. And then they'd have the bike when they'd go to the other side and take them to Carrigart and so on.
Isn't it an awful pity that this bridge wasn't here all those years ago?
Well, years before that, about, I don't know how long it would be now. It would be maybe 1948 or 50 or them years, they were thinking on putting a bridge across from down here to Morris. That's, you know, where this wee ferry boat used to go across.
Yeah.
And they had the boring even done for it. And then it fell through. There were some other, I think that bridge, I think it's the bridge down there at Gibara.
There is, yeah.
Well, it seems Blaney was getting the bridge for them.
So the Gibara bridge went on instead of...
Blaney told them as soon as the Gibara bridge would be finished, that this one would go. And that was all right. But then between times then, some of them decided they would get a chapel built here. So they got this chapel built up here then. And that kind of finished the bridge. There was no word about it.
So the money was spent on the chapel and more? Yeah.
The money was spent on the chapel. Mm-hmm. But the chapel was a good thing at the time, because even you had the bridge there at Moore's, you still had it, but you ought to be a good still.
Oh, good,
around,
of course,
you know?
Yeah. But do you think it's going to benefit Fannad people now more than... Or will it be benefiting Carrigart people more now, this bridge?
Oh, it'll benefit Fannad people a lot. Because if we're going to Milford now, that's the way we'll go.
It'll shorten your journey a lot.
If we're going to Letterkenny, that's the way we're going.
There are a lot of shops in Port Salmon, kind of an all around. They're known now.
Well, we had one shop here, and it's closed.
Here in Ballyheeran?
Aye. Uh-huh.
Down in the village there, like?
Just up beside the chapel there.
All right. And how long has that been closed, Eddie?
It's closed about 3 months now.
Because of people going off to Letterkenny and shopping elsewhere?
What happened?
And you had to go to Kirkyard.
Well, the boy that had the shop and the house was belonged to his sister. And the time they built the house, they got a shop built in the house for him. But the house, the shop and all was belonged to his sister, and then he kind of thought, she left, she's not living there now. He kind of thought that when, as long as he held on to the shop, that that was keeping her from selling the whole lot.
Yeah.
And he wasn't pushed anyway because his wife was a school teacher. Mm-hmm. And they're making as much as keeping going the family.
Well, that's that solved.
Family's grown up now. And that's kind of the way it was.
So you're talking about that ferry. Was that carrying the post across as well? Like?
That ferry carried the post,
So from Carrigart area to...
That's right. That ferry carried the post, right.
Where did Fannett people, would they have some link with Scotland, Eddie?
Well, I'll tell you, in my young days, when the summer would come, this place would be full of Scotch people.
Mm.
And the reason of that was because a lot of the people from here left and went to Scotland. And then when the summer would come, their families would come here.
That's the reason, yeah.
That's why.
It's the same in Gwydor, actually. And
it'd be the same in Gwydor.
The surrounding parishes, Clonmealy and the Rosses. Like
oh, it. The place would be full of Scotch people.
Yeah. Second and third generation
But no, well, some of them still comes, but not as many as that time.
So what about employment here in Fannett, Eddie? Is it good now, or are there people leaving, or emigration?
Well, at the present time, there's nothing in Fannett, only the fish farm.
Is that just by the bridge there, up from the bridge?
Oh no, it's away down at a place they call Ringmoor. It's on the way over to the lighthouse. But there's a...
Oh, heading for Mallon, like...
Down there, Fannett Lighthouse, over that way.
Right.
But then they've a branch there in Kendrum as well, a small branch. But they started off in Kendrum. A man named Emma Fox started off first about 19 and... about 35 years ago or whatever. And... they're doing pretty good. And then the next thing then they moved over to Ringmoor and they have a big factory there now.
So that's the biggest employer really, and the only maybe?
I'd say they employ between everything a couple of hundred people, you know.
Do they? Right.
Well, see, when you count the ones that's working there and then you count the ones that's out with lorries and different things.
It's a big employer.
Oh, well, it's the only thing that's in Fannett. And the only thing about it, there's a hell lot of ones trying to burn down altogether.
Why is that?
Well, I make out there it's... Well, they make out there's a lot of stuff going into the sea that shouldn't be going into it. But that's only nonsense. Because if you go up to Letterkenny or go up to Rathmullen, there's more sewage running into the sea than is doing more harm than what it is doing. It'll be very little that's running into the sea out of the fish farm.
What about fishing though, Eddie? Like, I know it's gone downhill big time, but would Fannett people be big time into fishing previous to what's happened to it? Like?
Well, the older people. I remember my uncle here. He would hardly miss 3 days in the week, but he'd be out fishing.
Yeah.
And he'd fish for, though they fish for their dinner a lot of times, and they used to go out and lift scallops. The way they used to lift the scallops, had a big long pole and a grapple on the end of it. And then they used a box with a glass. It would be about 2 foot by 2 foot square. And there was a glass on the bottom of it. And when they put the box down on the water, see, it stopped the water moving. You couldn't see through the water with a ripple, you know.
No.
But when you put the glass on the top of it, you could see down, see the scallops.
Uh-huh.
There was no ripple there,
no,
basically, with
ways.
The glass.
Yeah.
And they used to get a lot of scallops, which was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever get them?
No, I wouldn't know much about them now.
No. The others.
So fishing was a big employer here?
Well, it wasn't that it was a big employment, but they fished for
yeah.
their own use.
Yeah.
You know. There was never much fishing to see employer that was employing people here. But down there in Bielaborski then, they used to do a lot of fishing. They used to get lobsters and all that, and different fish. Well, they sold them. Well, they took them, I think it was Burnport they took them.
Sold them in Burnport?
Right. I suppose up in Dublin too, maybe.
Yeah.
I suppose then again, the boats maybe from Burnport would take them to Dublin.
Of course they would, yeah. But that area now that you're saying, Bielaborski, that would be the Gaeltacht area, wouldn't it?
That was a Gaeltacht area,
yeah.
Very much.
But there's very little of Gaelic left maybe now, with there?
Well,
a few families.
There's a few, the Shields family, they still talk the Irish. And the girls are married here and there and they talk Irish. But before that, when I was a young lad, what they made a living that time on was kelp.
Yeah.
They never do it over in
the
Newcastle.
They did, of course, yeah. It's a long time ago, though.
I remember there was a big warren down there, and in the summertime, that would be covered with
drying it out, yeah.
Drying it out.
Mm.
And then they called them kelps. It was just nearly like a pit of spuds, you know, but they had stones built on the two sides.
Yeah, lime kilns, just.
And then they'd fill them up then with the dry stuff. And I don't know how they let it, but they got to burn anyway. Then they'd sell that.
Do you remember it, Eddie?
I remember that, They used to take it up to Port Stalin and sell it. And then there was a man in Milford, you might hear tell, Baxter.
He was
a councillor. And I think he used to buy it.
That was a good wee earner, Eddie, at the time.
Well, it was better than nothing.
Yeah.
You know,
it'd be hard work, though, like.
And at the time, they used to have what they called them pontoos. Suppose they're an Irish name on them, too. But there'd be a shaft in them about 12 foot long. And the end of them, there was a hook. Like that, you know. They'd reach out as far as they could and they'd be,
Draw on the yeah.
Well, if they wouldn't go out for someone else, would have known.
Yeah.
And they'd be out up to their neck.
It'd be a long, long shaft that'd be used.
12 foot about.
Yeah.
And they'd be out up to their neck. So it was a hard living.
It's hard. But they'd earn a few pounds, like, but still, though.
Well, they'd earn a bit. There'd be some of them working there. And they might be as hungry as they hardly make their way home. In them times. But that's what I hear them talking about in my time.
Yeah.
But before that it was worse.
Oh, it would, of course.
You know.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of stuff that I know about.
And the time you're saying that would have been worse would have been when Lord Leitrim here was the landlord, and he gave people a hard time as well. He evicted people and paid a rent to him.
I remember an old man down beside me, down in Tome, telling about Lord Nathan passing the Catholic Church one Sunday, and the priest had whitewashed. And he walked up the chapel floor and he says, this was Father Boyle, but he went up the chaplain floor and he says, Mr. Boyle, who gave you permission to whitewash this house? You know. So I don't know what the priest said, but he didn't come back anyway. He was a bad boy. And there's another man, he was a relation of mine. He was cutting a sod up on the top of a height where Latham was passing. Latham saw him cutting the sod, and he went up to him and asked him, give him permission to cut the sod. He says, I don't want permission to cut the sod. He says, I'll put you off the land. And your man had the spade in his hand and he made for him.
Going to attack the Lord Leitrim?
Going to attack him. And Lord Leitrim says, when you're so good a man as you are, I'll let you go.
He was afraid of him.
So he let him go.
So he did let him go.
Yeah.
But Leitrim was cruel though, and you know, if you were going to build any kind of wheat byre or do anything at all on your land, you had to get permission from
him. Then, but I don't know, was that in Leitrim's time or not? But one time, the rates was on your house according to the size of your wonders. And if you had no wonders in the house, you had no rates to pay.
Yeah.
But if you had wonders in...
The bigger the weir, the more you paid.
The bigger the weir, the more you paid. So that's the way it was.
You've heard a lot of wee stories about him, Eddie. You've heard a lot of wee stories about Lord Nathan.
Well, if I was McDermott, I could tell you a lot more about our mind about it. Make it a cup of tea there, sir.
Do you have the story about the murder of Lord Leitrim, Eddie? What you've heard, anyway?
I heard it all before. Some of the priests said it wasn't right to kill him. Other ones sided with him. And I think he's better off the road anyway, when he's going to put people out of their homes.
Yeah, well, he was evil, and, you know.
And as John McDermott said, that he wasn't good to some of the Protestants either.
No.
Well, I knew one, or here tell of one, Thor Buchanan's left down in Glensk. And Buchanan had a nice daughter, and he sent word to Buchanan to send the daughter over to him. But Buchanan wouldn't send the daughter to him, so he took the half of the farm off. So he didn't do too bad.
No, he didn't get his own way all the time.
That's right.
But he tended to use the girls as he pleased, didn't he?
That was it. Well, that's what they said then.
Yeah.
You know, there'd be a lot of things made worse than there sometimes too.
Well, still though, when they murdered him, the Fannet people, they must have had a reason.
Putting them out of their land.
Yeah.
As I was saying, I think I said that when McDermott was in, that he passed up him and some other one up someplace where there was a crowd of seagulls. And there was one black crow among the seagulls.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, that's the way I live, the Catholics are Fannet.
That's the way Lord Leitrim said?
He'd live, the Catholics are scarce as the black crow and the crowd of seagulls, you know.
My God. Do you want to tell me your version of the murder of Lord Leitrim, Eddie?
Well, I wouldn't know much about. I just would just know the same as what you heard of McDermott there today. But like McDermott, he has a great memory, and
he's listened to the stories, and
if he hears a story,
he'll memorize.
He minds it.
Yeah.
Well, many as if I could mind all the stories I heard, I could keep you here for a month.
I know.
So that's it.
You would have seen big changes in the building trade as well, Eddie. When you started building originally, there was no electricity, maybe, and then big changes when electricity
came.
Well,
I remember when my father built a house down in Tome. I was only 7 or 8, but I mind. And when you built a house that time, you just built the four walls.
Four bare walls, more or less.
And put the windows in.
Yeah.
And put a ceiling on. And then plaster. That
yeah.
was just all it was in.
It was very basic, really, like, you know.
It was just
there was no even felt underneath the
felt,
slates.
No,
like,
that's right.
They were drafty, like, and I
suppose wouldn't be as warm as there now.
Not at all. I suppose that time as well, stone, they were building stones.
It was all stones.
Yeah.
And as I told you, I think I told you before, they had to quarry the stones and all.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that the night?
I think, no.
I told you sometime anyway.
Yeah.
Well, what they had to do first is quarry the stones. And then lead them to the place for building and burn a kill of lime.
Yeah.
And then they always went to the shore for the sand that time. But now you're not allowed to take sand from the shore.
No, but the seashore sand then would be damp as well, though, and, you know, to a degree. Like.
It might be a bit damp. There might be a certain amount of dampant.
Yeah.
But the cement that was made with the seashore was a lot stronger.
Was it?
Than what would be made with the sand you get.
Right.
Because the sand that you get now, there's too much dust in it and rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
But the seashore sand, it was there floating on the sea for millions of years.
Yeah.
And it
was
clean.
Clean, yeah.
If you done a wee job now, put on a floor and get good seashore sand, it was good. But the only trouble was in somewhat is there was shells, you know.
I know, yeah, mixed into the sand,
and
yeah.
Shells and all that. And they would be a wee bit, you'd get odd ones of them, they'd be a bit larger, and then you get a hole in the...
And your plastering, yeah.
Well, in the floor.
And the floor as well,
right, for
yeah.
the plastering.
Yeah.
But for you'd be wearing, that shell would wear away. So that's the way it was.
You enjoyed your life though, Eddie, and you would do it all over again.
Ah, well, three, four girls here and two boys.
Do you still do a bit of farming? And?
Oh, well, I do nothing now.
But you did, like...
The son here does a bit. I have three girls and the three nurses. There's two of them in Dublin, one of them in Galway. She's not in Galway, but she's has a house out in Mayo. Then the other one's here beside us in Kerrykeel. Then
so they come and they go, and
have a son then up in Sligo. He's working something to do with plants.
Right.
What is it? Ordinary or something?
Ordinary service.
That's what he does. I heard them saying, you know, about here. The older ones would tell you that there was a fairy tree in a such and a place, and that such and a one cut it and something happened, and the other ones would be afraid to go near it there.
Yeah. Well, was that much the same as? You had a story there earlier when I came in about the standing stones. Tell me about them,
well,
Eddie.
Well, the standing stones, I don't know what about the standing stones. I think about the standing stones up in a place called Drumfad. And there was one stone standing up there. And the time for the persecution, the redcoats was after a priest.
Yeah, the penal law times, yeah.
And he had behind one of these doors, and they got away on them. But then these Protestant ones had this land, and one of them was away in America, and he came home and he said, "I'll tumble that stone." So he went out to tumble it. I don't think he finished it, but he was dead the next morning. That was sad.
So, but there was a lot more than the few that are there now. There was a lot more standing stones, said he, at the time. There would have been a row of them in line, wouldn't there?
Well, down now, near to there, here, a lighthouse, there's a lot of standing stones in a place down there. But what they are, the time of the war, there was a lot of people lost of ships, and ships sunk, and a lot of bodies came in, and they buried them down there.
Oh, right.
And a bit of stone standing for a mark on the grave. That would be the standing stones down there, but the ones up on Drumfad were a different thing.
They were older as well.
They were older. Yeah. Talked about the priest, you know, the way they used to chase the priest.
I know.
And all that kind of work.
And Drumfad, right? That's not all that far from here, really, is it?
No, it's near Portsoland.
Right.
I don't know if they're standing there yet or not. I think they're. But most older ones will tell you that no one would go near them.
No. So with this new bridge now, give you a different life, Eddie. You know, you drive off more into Carrickyard and Milford.
Oh, okay, that's what I was saying to Sarah now the day. We'll have to go way down by Melmore and down that road.
Yeah, Lower Downings.
We were down a few times, but we'll have to go down now again.
Yeah. Have you crossed the bridge yet?
Oh, I crossed.
You were there at the opening on Friday, were you?
We were there in the opening on Friday, and then Sunday we went over to Carrickyard to see some Sarah's nieces. She's nieces over there.
Good stuff.
Over to see them, and then they tell me now that there's good shops there too.
Yeah, well, there's going to be more people going into Carrickyard now. There's only 4 miles from here now.
Well, do you see, that's all.
Mm. It's going to save you 20 miles.
There's very few shops here now,
can you? No.
So you're right, both.
Well, you have to go to Tanley now. Well, there's a shop down, Shields' shop, that'd be relations, the one that's shot later. They're down beside the chapel down in Fanavolte. Were you ever at that chapel?
No, I wasn't, no.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. I've been around a few times, but it's so big, Fanet, and the roads are narrow. And
yeah, that's right.
I don't really know it well. Like, I've been in Balawariski, all right.
I don't know much about you. Yeah, where you're from.
Yeah. Anyway, Eddie, Sarah's making tea, and maybe we'll leave it here today, will we, Eddie?
Ah, whatever you like.
Okay, good man. Thanks very much.
Well, it's like everything. I hadn't much to tell you. I wish I could tell you more. But as I was saying to you, if I could mind everything I saw and heard, I'd be talking to you for a month.
We'll be here for a week. I know. Thanks, Eddie. Good morning.
That's it.